Well, thank you very much. I have two poems in the book. I'm not going to read either of them tonight. Hopefully, you'll be enticed to buy them, but if Ed didn't already convince you to buy it, these won't help. This one is called 14 Telephones. One. 5 days a week I took Italian, all year, age 18, and can't remember enough now to place more than a piazza or a palazzo of that great-grandmother tongue into this poem. Each unseemly, like out-of-context architecture, a Fontana di Trevi in the freezer section. I was good, but it's gone now. In Italia, I was often caught talking with only 2 of 10 fingers, pointing to what I could not pronounce, pointing to my purchase, quanto costa. Once a month, I made it to mandolin lessons, several months, age 16. For a time, my plettro plucked a tight tremolo on its twin set of strings. But that, too, slipped from my skill set. Soon I could not muster so much as a speak softly love. Nino Rota, the reason my dad took $90 to the Northside Pittsburgh pawn shop and got a good price on a green Epiphone. Two. In Roma, Termini, I was tisked by a tiny Italian bag lady, a Befana come with coal or a stick in the stocking. Her language slid through my ribs, then twist, each word learned but lapsed. Her fat Befana finger, heavier than she was, pressed to my chest, ripetutamente, as I tried to talk to my credit card company on the matter of cut funding and an unrented Vespa, desperate. This must have been her payphone at the occupied corner of 15 empty phones. She shouted, I shooed her, shushed her, brushed her away. But still that fat finger found my chest. In a rush, simple words surged through me. Expletive deleted. Ci quattordici altri telefoni. I regret telling her to eat what I told her to eat at the top of my lungs, mouth 4 inches from her face. But the Malocchio left her at that moment to be picked up in chorus by every passerby as she shuffled away, defeated, folding in toward her feet, until she was smaller and smaller and smaller, a speck of dust swept into the street. On the phone, customer service cackled. Three. I had pictured myself in vest and coppola, glass of grappa on the barrel beside me, strumming lute or lyre. A dream that fades as easily now as the memory of lira in the new mode of life, or the tissue of a muscle we fail to use. Thank you. This one is called Half the Distance. It's as if all of life is one high arcing punt hanging through the blinding sunshine, your eye black barely abates, and you wait, eyes on the target, about to get creamed by an unseen special teams phenom. But you pull off the miracle catch and you sprint the zigzagging, yardage-eating, ankle-breaking run of a lifetime with one final juke past the punter, high-stepping the entire red zone to your touchdown. Not having noticed the flag on the ground at the 5 that pins you half the distance behind your original starting point. Little change of pace. This one's called The Bucket. Every day, the boy, a bucket, the well, a chore. Then one day, the boy, a bucket, the well, a bird. Another short one called Zealots. Thank you. Zealots. Zealots mark the distinction as cause and effect, desire both. A segregated community, a sacred gated community. This one I don't have a title for yet, and it's probably just going to end up as a sentence in a novel someday, but for right now it's a poem. He thought of his children, what grass must think of snow in exceptionally cold winter. Sometimes I like to write a poem that is like 2 lines and that the title is much, much longer, and this is an example of that. Industrialist nation's curious relationship to everything, including the calendar. Make it go faster than last year. This next poem I selected, having forgotten that this series is run by a cop. So this will be the last eye contact we make for the evening. And here's to never being invited back. This poem is, I feel like this poem is the most important one I've written. It's called Walter Scott. When I was a kid, a cop would give chase, tackle a criminal, cuff him, and go home a hero. That's what my TV told me. As an adult, a police knows which race to run. His lazy cowardice lets his bullets do the legwork. How like a paper target retreating toward projectile trap and baffles a black man's back must look. And of course, the video's comments out all sorts of apologists. It's not racist, he didn't aim for black skin, just a teal t-shirt, chuckle, chuckle. Sickening as the pachinko game, plinking of bullets on bullets around the organs of his corpse. The brave soul holding the camera, another person who doesn't seem to matter, another likely to suffer the indignity of dying face down, cuffed between his kidneys, hands like a gravestone engraving. Another cop-dropped body whose hearse is a hashtag. Thank you. This will be my last one. That's all I got, Jim. This last one is called Slug. My tongue is a slug she pours salt under, makes my words crawl across hot coals. My thoughts are a robin, she's the clear shaker, its white contents emptying out. She likes to shake, shake on top of tail feather, she gives a worm its wings. My pen is a leper, leaving a piece of itself at every nib, twist, and turn. She's the gauze-white page that hides every sore it records. We are a circle, one piece missing. She should be the duck, duck, goose. But I fuck up. She's the duck, duck, duck. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Judith Robinson.